TalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack, and you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room. How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. Until the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run.
With your host...
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Yeah, kitty, kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. Good people like me. All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I'm gonna make it bend and break. Say a prayer, but let the good times roll. In case God doesn't show.
And welcome to the Best of the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I'm Lindsay Ward, he's Rock, and we are here to talk to you all about our best of show for 2015. My God, is it December already?
This month really creeped up to me really, really quick. It's like, oh my God, it's December already? Jesus. So what we're going to do tonight with Lindsay on special assignment, we are going to take a look back at some of the very best interviews that we have done this year, including Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, good old JR Jim Ross, and to kick us off, we will be hearing from the then Money in the Bank and then soon to be future WWE World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins. So take a listen. It is the best of the rack right here, right now, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Joining us right now is the man who brought the authority back to both Raw and SmackDown, which is moving to Thursday nights on Sci-Fi. Everyone, please welcome to The Rack, Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm very good. We're happy to be talking to you. So my first question, we have to talk about last night, because you had a pretty big night last night. You got to curb stomp both John Cena and Brock Lesnar on Monday Night Raw. How did that feel?
It felt real good. Those big nights you're referring to, they're starting to pile up a little bit here and there. I'm starting to have them more and more and more. And last night, surely Raw, standing over both John Cena and the WWE World Heavyweight Champion Brock Lesnar, is a feat that honestly I don't think there are any other men can say that they've done that. I might be the only one in the history of WWE, so that's quite monumental.
It is quite monumental. And speaking of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, are you in the match for the Royal Rumble? Are you ready to seize the opportunity and win your first title, or are you going to maybe sort of wait and rely more on your Money in the Bank?
No, my strategy for this match is to go in full bore, 100%, 110%, whatever you want to call it, and try to win the match. If things don't work out and, I don't end up winning, the odds are against me for sure, I have backup plan. I always have plan B, and that is my Money in the Bank briefcase. It's an unprecedented situation. I don't think in the history of the Money in the Bank briefcase and contract, you've had a scenario where the champion or the challenger has had two opportunities essentially to win the title. So it should be a very interesting Royal Rumble. I think the fans are going to, you know, I think they're going to be on the edge of their seats the whole time.
Well, I certainly hope so. I know I'm excited for it. I know my producer's excited for it as well. So, you know, when you win the World Heavyweight Championship, which we all know you're going to do, we have every confidence in you. You know, and you go to WrestleMania this year. Do you have anybody in mind that you'd like to defend against?
Well, no.
No?
Not really. I mean, if I go in as the WWE champion, I could really care less who my opponent is. Whoever wins the Royal Rumble, I suppose, would be the man there. That in itself is a difficult task to beat 29 other superstars and climb the mountain, so to speak. But if you ask me for a preference, no, I don't really have a preference about whose butt I'm going to kick at WrestleMania.
Okay, so well, I have to know. You know, kind of transitioning back out. What was it like for you to work with both Triple H and Stephanie McMahon over the last few months on TV?
Oh, they're phenomenal. You know, two of the greatest minds in the history of our industry. You got one who is, born and bred a McMahon, so she knows everything there is to know about what we do, and she knows all the little tricks of the trade, and she sees things from a completely different perspective. So you have that, and then on the other end, you have the cerebral assassin, the man who's been, you know, WWE champion multiple times, who's clearly the heir apparent to the company itself, and he's already running the ship for the most part. So, I mean, there's really no better mentors. If you're not learning something every single day, every time you go out there, then you're really just making a mistake, trying to progress yourself. So if people have kept track over the last 6, 7, 8 months, they've really, I think, noticed a lot of improvements in my game, at least I have. A lot of that is due to Triple H and Stephanie being on my side and coaching me all the way through.
So that has to be a really cool experience because Hunter's kind of been with you from the beginning, hasn't he, where he was down with you in NXT and then he's sort of followed you up through the Shield and now to this opportunity.
Yeah, the man clearly has an eye for talent, you know. it's been good, you know. NXT was a good experience for me. We were the first kind of group of guys who were involved in that project. And if you look at what it's become now, it's pretty impressive to think about where it started and how it began very humbly in a warehouse in Tampa. And now it's basically its own brand. And to have, you know, Triple H support through and through the entire way has, meant more to me than I think people ever understand. And it's really helped position me where I want to be and helped me grow as a person and as a performer.
Now, there's a lot of buzz around NXT right now, and certainly you helped to create that buzz. You know, is there anyone down there right now that you're maybe looking forward to facing in the near future when they come up?
I have a lot of friends down there, a lot of people who I traveled the road with in my previous life, and I think that those guys, you know, the Adrian Neville, the Sami Zayn, the Finn Balor, Hideo Itami, Kevin Owens, these are the guys who obviously are making a name for themselves right now in NXT. There's a lot of young guys too who are pushing the envelope as well, really trying to make a name for themselves in the shadow a little bit of some of those bigger names. You know, you got someone like a CJ Parker who's been down in NXT for a while, making waves. You got a Tyler Breeze who's, you know, on the cusp of something big and stuff like that. So there's a lot of talent down there. I'm looking forward to see what the landscape up here in WWE looks like in, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years with all of those names that I mentioned up here working with us. It's going to be a very interesting period for the future of WWE.
It sounds like it. I know I'm super pumped for NXT as well. Now, kind of to talk about SmackDown a little bit, because that's why we're here. You know, for years, SmackDown has been built around certain superstars, from The Undertaker to Edge, you know, who you had an incident with a couple weeks back. With it moving back to Thursday nights, do you see this as an opportunity for yourself to maybe have the show built around you?
I would like to assume that both Raw and SmackDown will be built around me from this day forward, or maybe from the Royal Rumble on forward. I mean, I talk a lot about how the future is now. Well, I'm not the future anymore. You know, the present is upon us, and I'm a major part of that. So SmackDown moving back to Thursday nights where it originally began is really exciting for me, just because that's the night I used to watch it when I was, you know, younger, all the stuff with The Rock and and all the other stuff, you know, Edge and Christian and Eddie Guerrero and you know, my security guard, Joey Mercury, also played a huge role in SmackDown during that period of time as well. So it's an awesome move. I'm looking forward to kind of, you know, reaching into another night of the week and just seeing what that brings and what that holds for us as far as a company moving forward. It should be good for everybody involved.
Now, do you have a favorite SmackDown moment in particular? Does anything jump out in your mind?
Man, there's a lot of really good ones. I mean, it would be hard-pressed for me not to say one of my own personal favorite moments, me powerbombing The Undertaker through a table. that's pretty iconic as far as, you know, a SmackDown moment gets. But if I'm going to reach back in the vault, I'm going to go probably to the very first SmackDown. The Shawn Michaels super kick on The Rock was pretty awesome. I'm a big Shawn Michaels fan. So, you know, when Rock was going for that people's elbow and Shawn just clocked him right in the tooth, I thought that was pretty sweet.
Now, was that a kind of, when you found out that you were going to get to work with Taker, was that a cool experience for you?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those things where, you know, you don't even really think that that's ever going to happen to you in your career. And not because, I expected the level of success I have, but I expected Undertaker to be long gone by the time I, you know, came around. The fact that he was still here is a testament to him. And the fact that we are able to, we in the Shield, I mean, we're able to ascend to that level so quickly and get a chance to be in the ring with him before, you know, he stepped away is pretty awesome. You know, he could still be around and maybe there's a WrestleMania match for me and him in the future. But for now, I'll definitely cherish those moments that I got to spend in the ring with him.
Yeah, that had to be an amazing experience. And I'm kind of jealous that you got to do that. Won't lie. Not that right. I would ever get in the ring with him. But
yeah, that might not turn out so well for you.
Yeah, I'm a little small. He probably could just like snap me in half with a finger or something, you know. So,
most likely.
You know, another big moment that happened last night on Raw was Macho Man Randy Savage getting announced to go in the Hall of Fame. It's definitely a long-awaited honor for him. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, my only real thought is it's about damn time. You know, I know there were a lot of issues with getting him into the Hall and stuff like that, but I'm really glad that after all these years, you know, people kind of made the decision that it was the right thing to do. And there was, I mean, I think everybody knew that. It was just, you know, kind of dotting the I's and crossing the T's a little bit. And I think that everybody kind of put their piece of personal pride aside and made it well known that, you know, one of the greatest of all time, the Macho Man, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And it's about time. I'm glad to be involved in it in some way, shape, or form. You know, just to be a part of the company while that happened is pretty cool.
Definitely, and I can't wait to see the induction and the speech when it happens WrestleMania weekend. So I know you're a busy guy. I don't want to hold you up, but I got one more question for you.
Oh, shoot.
What do you like to do on your day off?
Day off? What? What are those?
You don't take day off?
I mean, I don't take them. If I get them, I'll enjoy them, but they're very rare. I mean, honestly, we spend so little time at home that a good day off to me is literally doing absolutely nothing. If I don't have to get up and go run a billion errands or, you know, go to the gym, I really just like to sit in bed and watch movies and play video games and hang out with my fiance and my dog. Like, to me, that's a day off. We just don't have the time to take vacations or, you know, trips or anything like that. So for me, a day off is literally just doing nothing in my sweatpants.
That sounds like the best day off ever.
Yeah.
So, Seth, thank you so much for talking to us today. We greatly appreciate it. Everyone, make sure you catch him on WWE SmackDown now every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on Sci-Fi. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Gotta keep my head up, never get that low, 'cause I'm living this life, now it's all I know. Like, oh, it's the life I chose.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
from the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch! Put that man down! Your actions have consequences, and you know what? You're out of here! You're suspended! You know what? You're suspended indefinitely! Get out of my building now! Now get out!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Before the ball drops to 2016, the Rack looks back at 2015.
Hello, John. Now, I would introduce myself, but you know exactly who I am, don't you? And if anybody out there doesn't know who I am, well, quite frankly, those people are simply not worth my time in the first place.
Hold on 1 second. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to do this right. NXT champion, Kevin Owens.
We will count down the best moments in wrestling in 2015.
Bailey have in mind. God! God! Here we go! Bailey! Yes! Bailey Bailey! Bailey to Bailey for the title! Bailey's got it!
Along with looking ahead to what is to come in 2016.
Here's your winner and the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, representing the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt!
Pop Goes the Rack, available on New Year's Eve, right here on RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com. There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
So joining us right now is one of the legendary voices of professional wrestling. Please welcome WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Wonderfully well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're very appreciative of you joining us today. And I know you're here to talk to us about your wonderful one-man show, and we'll get to that. But there's something that I really want to talk to you about because it's kind of on everybody's mind. And, well, that's the college playoffs. You know, they just resolved Ohio State beat Oregon. And I'm just curious, do you think that the system worked?
Yeah, I think it works. I think that it, the teams that were omitted from the Final Four, I think it speaks very clearly that eight teams would be better than four. And I think eventually the 18 playoff system will be initiated. But in any event, the fact that the game, the championship of college football is decided by the teams on the field as opposed to balloting, voting, polling, whatever, is, I think, a real good thing. So I enjoy the tournament format. It's a great episodic programming, you know, a tournament is. So that's why NCAA basketball in March is the big deal. It's March Madness. The NFL playoffs, same thing. So I like the system, and I would like to see more teams get the opportunity to participate. And if the television ratings are any indication, the fans certainly would invest their time in watching the tournament an extra week.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I was a little bummed personally that they only did four instead of eight. I thought they were going to do kind of the semifinals and then the final round and then, you know, the championship game. So mm-hmm. I agree with you that it would be nice to have eight teams or maybe more.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all going to come down to money and the networks ponying up the cash. The viewers, I think, will certainly would enjoy the process even more. But again, as I reflect back to NCAA basketball, you get average ratings during the year, but once they get on, get into March Madness, it's a whole different ball game. So it's just that sense of urgency in the fact that you win, you advance, you lose, you go home. It's a simple format to follow, and I don't think it happens next year, but I think somewhere in the near future we'll get four more teams, and then we maybe have this discussion. Well, maybe we should do 16 or whatever. But in any event, I think 8 teams would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. And kind of to transition away from that and talk to something else that's really exciting. You also got to call your first New Japan pay-per-view this year, actually very recently. What was that like
for
time.
You? It was fun. It was fun. You know, once you get past the travel and you can navigate around the language barriers in Japan, then it's everything else is really positive. The event was in the Tokyo Dome, 40,000 plus fans on hand, I think, was the attendance. It was the first time that we'd aired anyone had aired a New Japan pay-per-view in North America. And it did really well. I haven't heard the numbers, but it's been critically acclaimed as one of the better pay-per-view wrestling shows in years, and so that's neat to be able to be a part of that. You know, for me, after 40 years in this business and then being out of the play-by-play table for a while, you know, you have those doubts. How much gas is left in the tank? And how are you going to endure this 4-hour pay-per-view where the last hour is your most important, facet of the matches? So those are the main events. So I had a great time. The food was unique. Not quite what I'm used to here in Oklahoma, but it was a good, fun experience. And I hope that we get to do some more. I know those talks are ongoing. I signed a contract to do one, but I would certainly be interested in doing more. But it was right place, right time, win-win, all those cliches. But I had a great time, and it was good to know that I hadn't forgotten how to do my old job. So there's kind of nostalgic in that regard.
I don't think you could ever forget. You're too good.
Thank you.
So, you mentioned that there might be more shows. Do you think that Wrestle Kingdom could, New Japan, I should say, could do well here in the U.S.?
I think they could if they started on Friday nights airing the show, their TV show, an hour TV show, with English commentary on Access TV, formerly HDNet, Mark Cuban's outfit. So, they air on Friday nights. Depending on what kind of audience they pick up, they'll be able to measure the popularity. And then once all the pay-per-view numbers come in on that show, that'll be another gauge that they can utilize. As long as you have English speaking commentators who can explain who all these men and women are, then I think it'll be real well because their product is really sound. Their in-ring psychology is very old school oriented, but it's surrounded with all these modern accoutrements. So I think it's got a real good chance of being a paper. I don't know how well it's going to do on Wiki TV, but I don't know how well Access TV does in general. But if it did well on pay-per-view, that gives you an indication that there's
there are people willing to invest in it. And if that's the case, you could. It's like any other entity, you know. It's all, like as we said about the football playoffs, it's all about the cash.
Right.
So if it does well, I would think you would see more. So I had a great time with it. I love the product. It's very hard-hitting. They demand physicality from their talents. And it's a little unique. It's a different presentation you see in North America. I'm not telling you it's immensely better. I'm just telling you that it's different because everybody has their brand that they like. You know,
right.
It's like buying barbecue sauce. You know, you can buy J.R.'s barbecue sauce, or you can buy, you know, Sweet Baby Ray's or somebody, or your local flavor. But the bottom line is that there's enough audience to go around. So I think they would do well here if they can just get a foothold.
Hey, I'm still waiting for that J.R.'s barbecue sauce in my store. Just saying.
Yeah. I like that.
Now, we've heard a lot of really great reviews for your live shows, especially the ones from last WrestleMania weekend. And I'm curious to know, kind of, for those who haven't seen you live yet, what can we kind of expect?
Well, you know, I got into the wrestling business, the pro wrestling business, when I was 22, and very accidentally, and thought it would be a good summer job that I could, you know, make some money. And I go back to college and finish my last semester of college and graduate. And then 4 years later, I'm still waiting on that to re-enroll. I got a like what I was doing. And, you know, I read somewhere one time, you know, if you're lucky enough to find a job that doesn't feel like work, you know, grab it and embrace it. And I found that situation in that very unique genre. And then from 74 till now, there's been immense changes. Going from relying on syndicated TV, then getting on national cable, then getting on satellite television, then getting involved in pay-per-view, and then corporate ownership, like Turner Broadcasting and WWE, both corporately owned. Both companies are publicly traded. Or were publicly traded. There's no more WCW. But my point is that I've seen the evolution of the business change drastically on several fronts. I work with some very compelling, gregarious, amazing entertainers in those 40 years on a lot of trips and a lot of events and a lot of countries and a lot of cities. So the stories are really unique. So I try to, in my show, I try to take about the first 10, 15, 20 minutes and kind of create a GPS of where we're going and hit some highlights and tell some stories that hopefully are either poignant or humorous or motivational, entertaining bottom line. And then I turn it over to the audience, and the audience then are able to ask any questions they choose. And wrestling fans are always... you know, they're always looking for a forum to express themselves. That's why there's so many wrestling websites and there's so many people on Twitter that follow wrestling people. They enjoy the communication, the interaction. And I feel like, you know, I owe the fans a great deal for supporting me for 40 years. So this is a small down payment on what I owe the people back. And I love to engage the Q&As. They're funny. They're poignant sometimes. They're inquisitive, you scratch your head, or, you know, why'd you ask that question? But I tell them up front, if you're nice enough to come to my shows and we have fun, I'm not going to restrict the subject matter of the questions. So I'll answer every question to the best of my ability and as honestly as I know. And that really makes every show different. It makes every show have its own vibe, its own energy. And that's kind of what we're expecting on that Royal Rumble weekend. You know, I've never been to Sayreville, New Jersey at the Starland Ballroom. I've been to Philadelphia many times. Our show in Philly will be on Sunday, Royal Rumble Sunday at 3:00 in the afternoon. I enjoy meeting the fans. The VIP meet and greets start 2 hours before showtime, and we meet the fans one-on-one and we take pictures and chat with them, and I enjoy visiting. I enjoy hearing what's on their mind, and I'm a fan, so we talk the same language. So The whole Philadelphia is really important to me. It's really important in my career when I really needed it. And so I'm excited about the Royal Rumble weekend. We'll do a Friday night show in Sayreville and a Sunday afternoon show in Philadelphia. So I'm excited about the whole process. It should be fun. I figure I'm probably going to gain some weight because I can't pass a Philly cheesesteak place without at least checking it out and smelling, you know. And you smell like a good cheesesteak, you almost got to have one.
That's my philosophy in life.
Yeah. I think the thing about it is that people will hear all these dates and places. If they remember one thing, www.axs.com will have all the information on my shows. Tickets start at $20. There's a few meet and greet tickets left. So it's going to be fun to be there on that weekend. I know there's a lot of fans coming to Philadelphia for various reasons. Obviously, first and foremost, the Royal Rumble event on Sunday. And hopefully they can kind of use our show as maybe a little bit of a tailgate type of function prior to going to the big game at the Wells Fargo Arena.
That would be fun. That would definitely be fun.
Yeah, I think so. I'll try to make it fun. I'll try to not. I've been really. I didn't know if I was going to like doing these shows because I don't know if I would stand up or I don't have an act. I'm not a trained comedian. I've always been a straight man actually. So, but I did four of those shows in a couple of years ago and Wales. Did one in Wales and Cardiff. Did one in London. I did one in Manchester and I did one in Glasgow, Scotland. And they all three sold out and everybody seemed to really like them. So we got great reviews and I didn't know what I was really doing. I just thought, well, we'll just try this. Let's see how this works. So, I shortened up the monologue and then I gave more time to the audience to ask the questions. And there's where I found my formula. The audience, interaction is the heartbeat of the show, and it's why it keeps it fresh and it changes. You can see it in Sayreville, for example, it'd be a different show in Philadelphia, without a doubt.
Definitely. And I'm sure that one of the people that you probably have some really, really cool, well, I don't know cool because I don't want to make an assumption, but really, really good stories about would have to be The Undertaker because you've probably known him for a long while, I would imagine.
Yeah, I have, excuse me, and he's a guy I have great respect for. When I was in charge of hiring the talent for WWE, and I was in charge of the talent department as the executive vice president in the company, he was a very strong, positive influence in the locker room. He was like the captain of the team, for lack of a better term. So if there were issues that I needed support on or advice on or have a go-to guy that always give you honesty and hits you right in the gut with the truth, it was The Undertaker. So I've got plenty of Undertaker stories. And actually, he was wrestling under a mask in Dallas when I saw him, and we brought him to WCW. And then he stayed at WCW, and one of the officials there, his contract was coming up, and I said, we should renew his contract. And this guy says, well, you obviously don't know anything about talent because he'll never draw any money. He'll never be a big star. And I said, okay. So I go to Undertaker and I say, look, you ain't got to broadcast this, but you need to try to get that WWE offer nailed down because they're not going to give you a raise here. And you need to know the honest truth. And without, telling WWE that you're not going to re-sign, you have the information you need. So he visited with Vince McMahon, and McMahon saw what I saw. Here's a 6'9" guy that's very athletic, and it's up to the promotion to find the right creative for all the talent. It's up to a coach to put the guys in the right position to win the games,
right,
have them in the right game plan. So I have a lot of stories on Taker, and he's a wonderful guy, and he's obviously coming to the end of an amazing career. I don't know how many more he's got in him. I don't have any idea if he'll be at WrestleMania this year or not. My sense of it is that he will. that's only my intuition, because I think the day The Undertaker retires would be the cause of a huge promotion, well-planned, well-thought-out celebration of his years of contributions. And I haven't heard any chatter on that matter. I just can't see him. Okay, he got Brock Lesnar last year. His streak at WrestleMania is over, so he's just fading away. I just can't see him fading away without some sort of a classy send-off. And maybe that's at WrestleMania this year. I don't know. But it'll be a sad day when he's no longer, back in the ring. But it happens for everybody. I mean, there's a DNA expiration date on everybody's body somewhere in wrestling that tells you when it's enough is enough. And maybe he's hearing those whispers now from himself. I don't know. But he's a class act. He's a first ballot Hall of Fame guy, and he'll always be a part of that, of the company, no matter what role he may assume after his wrestling days have concluded.
I would agree with all that, and that was awesome that you share that with us. So I'm curious to know, what would you consider his lasting legacy to be, either with WWE or in the wrestling business in general?
Well,
because
I think,
he's given so much. Sorry.
Well, he has. He has, and he's worked through all kinds of injuries and pain. He's guys his size, you have to be very careful in a perfect world of travel, because you're looking at a 6'9 guy sitting in a commercial airline seat. Even if it's in first class, it's still sometimes inadequate for leg room and so forth. And to travel as much as he's traveled, just like anybody of a normal size guy, if there is such a thing as a normal size pro wrestler. So that was something I sometimes people just forget about. But I think the thing that he'll be known best for, I'll give you two things, his overall tenure from start to finish and how long he's kept his game at a high level, no matter where he was, if he could be in, you know, some small town, or he could be at WrestleMania. And then, of course, the winning streak at WrestleMania will never be approached by anybody, in my view. And so I think those two things, his overall tenure and keeping his game at a high level all through the decades he participated in. And, of course, that WrestleMania, the streak, as they call it, kind of had a pulse of its own. So, I'll remember him for being a leader in our locker room and being a great support system for me, and more important, him being a great friend. So, but depending on who you are, he's going to be remembered for a lot of things, but for the general fan, tenure, the quality, and the WrestleMania streak.
You just disregard the fact that he's a Texas fan?
Pardon me?
You just disregard the fact that he's a Texas fan? Because I know you're a big
Sooners
fan.
Oh, yeah. We disagree on that one Saturday of a year. The second Saturday in October is not for the wicked heart, as we say here, in the battle for the Red River. So, yeah, he's a Texas Longhorn fan, and I'm an Oklahoma Sooner fan. So we have a difference of opinion that one day a year, but the thing that we can both agree on, it's a great rivalry, and we both enjoy it. The losses sting, but the wins you get out of that pairing is certainly worth the anguish that we all suffer when our team loses the big game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Though Oklahoma seems to win more, just pointing that out.
Yeah, they've done well, and so we'll see. We lost this year to the last season to Texas. They have a new coach and new energy, and they're doing a great job rebuilding their brand. So it's never easy. Those rivalry games are just never easy. You never know. You know, it's like the Eagles playing the Redskins. You know, one thing could be down and go into a game and win. You never know on those real rivalry games. Everything in the NFC East is kind of a rivalry, it seems to me, and people don't like each other. And the Eagle fans don't like anybody, but the Eagle fans, which is cool. I don't have a problem with that. They're loyal.
Yeah, we don't like
anyone else. They're very vocal.
Yeah, we don't like anyone else. It's especially Dallas, just pointing that out.
Yeah, I'm not too happy with Texas. They stole Louisville's coach and Charlie Strong, so I'm not very happy with Texas right now.
Yeah, they got a great coach. Charlie's going to do a good job there. He's already having a gangbuster recruiting year. So they're the big dog in Texas. Texas A&M separated from that whole chaos by going to the SEC. And that gives Texas A&M a leg up because Texas, the state of Texas, is loaded with great college, potential college football players in their high school program. So they can say that we're the only Texas team in the SEC. And to some kids, because the SEC is getting all the publicity and all the love from the media, that that's all they need to hear. So it's not Texas going to Longhorns, picking who they want, and then everybody else can fight over the rest. It's not quite that way anymore, but Charlie Strong is a very good recruiter, and there's no doubt in my mind that Texas will be right back on the hunt much sooner than later.
Absolutely. And, Jim, I just have one more question because I know you've got places to be, and just have to ask this just for my own personal sake. You know, there's been a lot of comparisons recently between the characters of The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt, and kind of where do you stand on this? And kind of what are your thoughts on Bray Wyatt as he has come along?
I like Bray Wyatt. I liked his grandpa, Blackjack Mulligan, too, and I liked his dad, Mike Rotunda. I think Bray Wyatt's a very unique character, and I'm not sure WWE knows exactly what they have on their hands because the character is still evolving, and that was much like The Undertaker in the early going. They weren't sure where this was going to evolve to, but it seemed to feel right. So that's kind of where I would sum up this situation. There's somewhat of a macabre aura around the Undertaker, obviously. And this kid comes in, Bray Wyatt, and he assumes his character, makes it his own, in essence. He becomes this TV persona, and he's really good at what he does. So I think he has great potential to have a really good, successful career. But I really believe that we're not going to know exactly what color to paint that character, what brush to use until it evolves a little bit more. But the good news is that however it evolves, it's going to be a successful evolution. He's a very talented kid. He's unique. He's different. People notice him. He does unique things. All those things are prerequisites to become a pro wrestling star. You got to get noticed and remembered for the right reasons by your consumer base, which is the fan base. And Bray Wyatt has those traits. So I'm excited to see how he advances in the future. But he's certainly a keeper. And if he has half the success The Undertaker did, then WWE should feel very, very fortunate.
I would agree with that. So, Jim, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to talk with you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Everyone, catch Jim Ross live January 25th in Philadelphia for Ringside, an afternoon with Jim Ross. And for tickets, visit axs.com.
It's that easy.
It's that easy. So thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you guys very much. Have a great day, and hope to see you at one of the shows sometime. And I really appreciate you having me on, and look forward to entertaining the fans in the Philadelphia and Sayreville area. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Big Royal Rumble weekend. We'll have a blast, I promise.
Once again, a big thanks to good old JR for joining us here tonight. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio. Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's a horseshoe, Rob. That's a horseshoe.
Gundam style. Loving from the Gundam.
Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't hurt you.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm going to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
It's that time once again to spread some holiday cheer and jingle all the rack.
Ho, ho, ho!
Our Christmas special is closing in, and we are looking for questions from all of you for our favorite Ask the Rack.
Have you been naughty or nice?
Whether it's holiday-related, wrestling-related, or even if you want to take a shot or two at King Kittens.
This year, you're getting a lump of coal.
Wait. No. That's just our job. You ask it, we answer it, which is why it's Ask the Rack. You can submit your questions via Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Lins Ward, LANSWRD, or at Rack Radio Show, or you can email them to us, media@wildtalkradio.com. Deadline for questions is December 22nd. Don't forget, December 22nd. Join us for Jingle All the Rack this Christmas right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the looks. That drives the girls wild. I've got the moves that really move them. I said chill.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And I'm super excited because joining us right now is the man with many hats, including his trademark cowboy hat. He's a TV show host, father, WWE legend, and now the author of Wrestling for My Life, The Legend, The Reality, and Faith of a WWE Superstar. Available now at fine bookstores everywhere. Please welcome WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're super excited to talk to you about your wonderful new book, which I know I thoroughly enjoyed reading. I hope everybody else enjoys as well. And I have really just kind of several burning questions, but one in particular that I have to know.
Right.
And that has the building sold yet?
Oh, thank you so much. Well, again, it's all right. This is when you know it's the Lord. I felt like I have to give a little setup here. Obviously, you have to read the book to know what the deal is with the building. But I felt as if telling that story in this book, would honor the Lord and that he would deliver us from that building. And on December 31st of 2014, that building sold.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, we had a gentleman on December 1st make an offer, and then a couple days later, another gentleman made an offer and lowballed us on a figure but said he'd pay cash. And we said, well, no, we've got another offer. And he said, okay, what are they offering? And we told him, and he said, okay, cash deal, and we'll get it done by the end of the year. And, of course, 4 years and counting, that thing has been like an albatross over our heads, and it sold on the last day of the year. So just an amazing thing.
That's a pretty cool way to close out 2014, I have to say.
For sure.
And you're opening 2015 with your wonderful new book. And I'm curious to know, because I know what I took away from it, but I'd like to get your insight into what you would like people, you know, both Christian and maybe non-Christian, to take away from reading your book.
Well, I have to tell you, as I stated in the book, I'm obviously no biblical scholar and certainly not a pastor. I'm just a guy telling a story of what the Lord did in his life. But I've learned in the power of the testimony over the last several years. And so I'm just hoping that if I'm a guy that sort of stands there amongst many people and raises their hands and says, hey, just so you know, I went through this, I had this problem, it's okay to say you struggled here or you struggled there, that it'll help other people do the same, where they'll feel more comfortable knowing that it's okay. We live in a, especially in the WWE and that world, it's a world that obviously doesn't deal in a lot of truth, and there's always wearing a mask, so to speak, and just for a bit, you know, being honest with oneself and saying you need help and admitting to that, and that's not something that's looked upon as real strong these days, but you'd be surprised at what it does and the strength that, one, it takes to do it, and two, the strength that the Lord gives you to move forward past it.
Well, that's a wonderful message to share, and definitely picked up on that. And one of the other things that we kind of definitely picked up on as well is that you kind of when you went back into wrestling, I should say, you sort of reformed friendships, and you actually created new ones. Isn't that correct?
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
So kind of what has it been like for you to sort of gain new friendships, especially with people that maybe didn't like you in the past, like The Undertaker?
Nothing short of spectacular. And that's, again, probably the, I don't know, it's always a toss-up about the single greatest thing about my salvation. But one of the things my faith has taught me that that everything in our lives is about relationships. And to have the opportunity to be given a second chance with these guys, especially, again, guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker, guys that gosh, we weren't necessarily friends or we hung out or anything like that, but we had a mutual respect for one another. But obviously because of the way I was before, it drove a wedge and didn't give us an opportunity to have more than just, again, that professional respect that you almost sort of have to have.
Right.
And having the opportunity to go back and form real friendships with those guys, and more importantly, to be at a point in our lives where I can say, hey, I'm going to do this book, and it's in an area where you guys may or may not be real comfortable with. It's about my faith, but I want to be transparent. I want to be open. I want to be honest. And if you can, only if you can be open and honest about me, would you write a dedication or would you write something? And I want you to be painfully honest, and it's okay. Because I didn't want people, so to speak. I could have reached out to my friends, you know, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and my wife and kids and Keith Mark, people that Nomi and I know will write nice things about me, but I wanted these guys that could truly give a real assessment of the before and after. And honestly, the things they wrote almost brought a tear to my eye. And the fact that they said, no, not only will I do it, but I'd be honored to do it. And that just meant the world to me because, we have traveled some tough roads, these gentlemen and myself, to get where we're at. And now to have a friendship and a real relationship that goes so far past and beyond the wrestling business and even sort of the silliness that business brings to your life. It's nice to have something real and solid with those guys. And again, couldn't be more thrilled about that.
And that's absolutely wonderful to hear, I should say, if I could speak. And just as you're kind of going back down memory lane, do you have a fond memory from maybe the past few years or even before then that you like to share about those guys?
Well, the irony, I think, even with both of them, is one, Steve and I had big differences. He was the guy that I was dropping the championship to at WrestleMania 14, which was supposed to be the last match that I ever had because I'd injured my back and I was told my career was over. And then to, again, all these years later, to have him be one of the guys that wrote a foreword in this book. And to be a guy that we talk on a fairly regular basis about hunting and our deer programs and our ranches and stuff like that. And then, of course, with The Undertaker, that's the guy who I ended up ending my career with, my actual wrestling career. I had my last two matches with him, and they were just so off the charts spectacular, and we brought a lot of our real life aspects into it and my faith into it, and it was just a wonderful thing. And it's an amazing moment to share those very real times with those guys, and that's been, as I said, nothing short of spectacular. And those are just two, I guess, fairly long-winded but quick stories about those two guys in particular.
I know we don't have a lot of time with you. I'd love to spend more time talking to you because you just sound wonderful to speak with. So I'd just like to thank you so much today for coming on and speaking with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I appreciate the kind words.
Once again, a big thanks to Shawn Michaels. Everyone go check out Wrestling for My Life, available at fine booksellers everywhere. Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Ladies and gentlemen,
TNA superstar AC3 Unbeaten World Heavyweight Champion, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to our best of show. Those are three of our favorite interviews from 2015. Don't forget to check out last week's show with the one, the only, Ethan Carter III, as he talks to us about pop TV, bottled water, cats, and the TNA World Heavyweight Title Series. You don't want to forget to check that out. Also, you can go back to the archives at wildtalkradio.com and recradioshow.com if you want to hear any of the other interviews that we've done in 2015 or beyond that, because, you know, we've had some pretty awesome interviews on this show.
We have had so many awesome interviews, and as always, you're still looking for questions for Ask the Rack, which will be airing on Christmas Eve, so get us your questions before December 22nd. You can tweet us at Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn Ward, contact at RackRadioShow.com, media at WildTalkRadio.com, tumble us. You can call us 267-297-1397, or you can, you know, write us a letter, snail mail, if you know how to do that. I don't know. Anyway, Ask the Rack questions, so much more, but we are live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, December 17th, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We return live for all of you. So thank you for all for listening to the Best of the Rack, and we'll see you live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, along airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.